Repost here with my partners,
Sarah Maddock,
Todd Waller,
and thank you for another session of our studio cast. Today we are going to tackle the topic of closings, and this is kind of part two of a two-part podcast discussion about closings in general. This is going to be more focused on the buy side. So if you're a buyer, if you've been a buyer, you're about to be a buyer, you're going to want to lean into this. Well, I guess you could lean into this.
Yeah,
lean into it a little bit. Yeah.
Sarah, kick us off with your first thought about what's top of the mind if you're a buyer at a closing.
All right. So there's a lot of activity that goes on just before the closing, during the closing, a little bit after the closing. Leading up to the day of closing, there's some tasks that we'll help you with. But, you know, it's putting the utilities in your name. Mm-hmm. It's having a walkthrough and having a lot of good conversations with your lender about the last, you know, the final dollar amount that you're bringing in, how you're getting it there. So a little bit about walkthroughs, Todd. Yeah. When do you tend to do your walkthroughs? There's some different theories about walkthrough. When do you tend to do them and why?
So to start from square one, we're basically, our contracts say you've got 48 hours prior to closing that you as a purchaser can wander through that home to confirm that it's in the state that you expect it to be in.
Although the appliances are there that are supposed to be.
Cabinets didn't disappear.
They just bash a hole in the wall when they brought the couch from the basement.
Right, that's right. Yeah. So my standard of practice, I love doing a walkthrough. In fact, just set one up for this coming week where we're going to walk through that property exactly an hour before closing.
Yeah, that's
right. The title company is close enough that we can do the walkthrough in like 30, 40 minutes and still get to our closing on time. That's assuming there's nothing wrong with the house, and we don't expect there to be anything wrong with the house. But as Sarah intimated, when you walk through the property at that final walkthrough, you're looking to see that that home is in the condition you expected it to be in. We use the phrase broom swept condition.
Broom swept.
Yeah.
Broom clean.
Broom clean.
And if you're listening to that, you should hear the air quotes around broom clean.
Very deliberately vague.
Yeah. And it is deliberately vague. At the end of the day, I'm advising my clients as we walk through, are there gouges in the floor? Do the walls have massive holes in them? Yeah. Is there something materially different about this home in its condition that is not what you expected it to be?
Right.
As we were joking about before, appliances stuck around, cabinets, that kind of thing.
I think it's important for people to know, because sometimes this comes up in a walkthrough too, that this isn't a re-inspection.
Right.
You're not bringing anybody along with you on that to check and go into the furnace and that sort of thing. I do think it's important to go around, flush the toilets, make sure the water pressure is still there.
Right.
You also really want to go through your walkthrough when the seller has vacated the property.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's some question of, oh, we've got one more pile, or maybe you've made an arrangement and said you can put that in the garage, but you don't want a seller entering back into the property for any reason.
Once they're gone, once we close, they should be closed.
And that brings up another point. If you are a purchaser and you've given the seller post-close occupancy, meaning you're closing on this date, but you've said, seller, you can stay after closing for a period of time, you're going to do a second walkthrough when you get the keys.
Yep. Right.
So this walkthrough the day of closing is to confirm that the property is in the condition that you expected it to be in.
Well, I always say it's just to get you excited so that you can sign all those documents and remember what you're doing spending $300,000 or $500,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a walkthrough on the day of closing, if there's occupancy, I mean, they're still living there, so what are you really going to see? But it is a nice little teaser. You know?
Absolutely. And it's not a quick, it's a quick trip. It's not a process.
So then we go to the walkthrough, and then we go where? So typically the closing is going to be at the title company, and we've talked a little bit about title companies here and there, but it's a third party office somewhere in the area, hopefully. And the title company has had many roles throughout the transaction, but on the day of closing, their role is to make sure every piece of paper that needs to be signed by the mortgager and the in the county and so on, that it all gets signed, notarized, and delivered where it's supposed to be, which includes up at the recording office at the county and so on and so forth, right? And so they're going to conduct the closing. There will be a closer who works for the title company who will pass each piece of paper over to you, the buyer, and explain briefly what each piece is. Now, Jeffrey, do your buyers tend to get that paperwork early? Do you go over it with them sometimes a couple days or whenever early?
I absolutely do try and do that. They're going to get, if they're using a lender, they're going to get a closing disclosure from the lender. So that's the lender's information to the buyer.
About the mortgage.
About the mortgage. And there's a requirement. It's a TRID requirement that they receive that at least 3 days prior to the closing. from that, the title company will put together the closing package.
Right. Right.
One of the wonderful things, especially with our brokerage, is it's not just one set of eyes, it's multiple sets of eyes reviewing this. Yeah, can there be little math tweaks and things like that? A little typo here or something? You want to get to the closing table with everything super organized. So I make sure my clients have it. I review it with them. Mm-hmm. There are people in our office who also review those documents. And often, I don't say often, but they've caught things occasionally. And
I mean, these are all boilerplate documents for the most part. They rarely change from closing to closing. The title agent has done this hundreds of times. We've done it hundreds of... I probably could conduct a closing as a title agent. I know. I know what all these things are. But we know that you buyer, even if you've closed a few houses in your lifetime, it's not going to be obvious. And so we're there to help walk you through that as well. That's why we attend our closings personally. And if we can't, for some reason, we send a colleague. Yep. Because we just want you to feel comfortable with somebody you trust in the room. Am I supposed to sign this? Yes. Yeah, go ahead. You know. And here's a follow-up piece of information about it and that. So there's a lot of paperwork typically. There's a stack of real estate documents that you'll sign that are the legal, you know, the legal documents that go along with the sale.
How long
and then there's a stack of mortgage. So I tell people budget about an hour. I mean, it rarely takes less and it rarely takes more if everything is moving, especially if you have a chance to review things.
Yeah.
I always say a boring closing is what we're looking for. The you feel like it. There should be champagne and confetti and a parade and like it should feel momentous and exciting. But actually, the best closings are really boring.
I was going to say, the only caveat I would have for having a boring closing is when buyer and seller get along really well.
Yes,
and it's just a rip-roaring conversation across the table at that point.
Those can be really
fun. Mm-hmm. When Sarah says boring, she's literally talking about the documents.
Right.
Are they correct? Are the numbers correct? Are the names correct?
Oh, yep. Okay, thank you.
Exactly.
You know, it should feel like... It should be like that.
Yeah.
And that closer is going to, if you want them to explain every detail on every page, they will do that. It's their job. So don't feel like there's any stupid questions or anything like that.
Right.
If you're just not sure, you're signing a document that's pretty important and very legal. And so that's a good thing. What about, what should they bring to the closing?
Definitely ID. So driver's license and even maybe even one additional piece of ID, in particular if the buyer is a foreign national resident alien. If you're not an American citizen, which of course you're welcome to buy real estate, but just please, you probably will be asked to bring additional information, passport, utility bills, and that sort of thing. So that's key. And then please bring the money. Right?
Well, but how does the money get delivered? Like, there are some title companies where you say, hey, buyer, you need to bring $150,000 to the table. I don't know many title companies in the area that are going to be like, yes, we will take a personal check for $150,000.
Right, not a personal
check. I brought my backpack. And
again,
I have heard stories, though. Back in the day, you know, the farmer brings,
a couple of chickens.
I mean, hey, it has happened in the past. They will not accept cash or personal checks. But so typically it's done either through a wire transfer from your bank directly to the title company or a certified cashier's check. Mm-hmm. Now, it has swung in either direction, right? When we first started, it was always you went and got a cashier's check and you brought it to closing. And then with the prevalence of wire fraud that was happening like with apps, with mobile deposit stuff, then they all started going, oh, no, only a wire. It can only be a wire. Well, now wire fraud in real estate transactions is rampant. And that's gotten so complicated, the security measures, that some of the title companies I'm noticing, are you noticing? They're like, just bring a check.
So not a personal check.
Not a personal cashier's check.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of times I'm finding my buyers are being directed mainly by their lender and the title company as to which way is better for them or what they'll accept. Sometimes it depends on the amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeffrey, I mean, you're good at explaining this. Wire fraud, how do you protect yourself as a buyer? I mean, we don't want you to wire your down payment and closing costs $150,000.
Yeah.
You know, to a fraudulent entity.
No.
And it's devastating.
It's devastating. And you will know, I mean, we're giving you sort of the forewarning, and actually we have a wire fraud document that you're going to sign that's really a disclosure that says, be aware, and this is how you want it to go. And even if you see that, when you see that and you sign that and you have more questions for us, we're going to help guide you through that process, because the title company will 100% send you a secure document to upload things. And we've all been down that path before. It's, you know, enter this and it texts you a code. And I mean, there's quite a process.
But there's a reason it's a hassle.
And it's a good hassle. It's a very good hassle.
But, I always say, and I know you guys do too, please, though, call me. Yep. Call your lender that you have a trust relationship with.
Yep.
And just say, okay, this is what I got. And call the title company. We're all going to be, I would say, be as paranoid as you can. And it's okay. No one will make fun of you in that regard. So, so be aware of that. Mm-hmm. Now, what if, kind of changing gears, what if I've got a couple that's buying a house and one party can't be there at the closing and the other one can? And like, what are some options? Jeffrey's done this recently.
I just had this done.
He's raising his hand for those of you listening.
I just had this done. Yeah, silently. They can't hear this on audio.
He kind of looked like Horshack from Welcome Back, Kotter there for a moment.
Me. Go ahead.
No, I had this where the wife couldn't be there. And it's a document called a power of attorney.
Oh,
in a POA, which also needs to be done in advance. And so that document oftentimes can be generated by the title company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the person who's not going to be there, who's authorizing the person attending the closing to sign on their behalf, does have to have this notarized and sent back, wet copy, to the title company. So
it takes some planning.
It's
but
not
it can
one
be
of
done.
The,
it
yeah,
just takes some planning.
You're not going to DocuSign these things.
Right.
It does have to go through a notary process. But that gives the person who's going to be there, maybe it's a spouse,
parent
pad, anything like that, they'll be signing all the documents and their hand will get really tired because they're signing as power of attorney.
Right,
so there's some additional initials that they
You
add.
Might owe that partner a good meal after. No, it can't be done. Now, I have run into a situation that surprised you guys that, where the couple wanted to do a remote signing, which is, again, becoming more common, but they actually weren't going to be in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns out to be a lot more complicated. So we can do, it used to be you couldn't do a remote signing at all. At least one party had to be here with a power of attorney, right?
Right.
But over COVID, a lot of banks and title companies have changed that policy, and they're allowing for a buyer to, so my clients that are out of Texas, we set everything up. I FaceTimed with them so I could kind of be a part of what they were signing and answer questions where I could. And we sent a remote closer or a notary to them to do all the paperwork and then mail it all back overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But they were together. And it turns out if they're not together, it's a whole, because both parties have to sign the same document on the same day
with
the mortgage. Now, if it's cash, it's a totally different model of acts. But that was interesting. But the point is just, communicate with your realtor. And your lender way ahead of time. We have to, if there's anything unusual like that, let us know. So what are some common hiccups that we've run into at closing? And I would say preface by saying most of the time, by the time we get to closing, it goes off without a hitch, right? And then you sail off in the sunset.
Well, and I think it's fair to say that at the end of the day, if we've put our, if we've done our jobs and we've worked well with the other agent on the other side, us attending a closing, we're kind of like a bump on a log. We're there to be,
in the cheap seats.
Moral support.
Yeah, moral support. We're either pretty or handsome. Choose your descriptor as we sit there and have conversations with people.
I choose pretty.
We'll go that way. We'll go that way, too. So common hiccups, though, it could be something as simple as, I left my driver's license at home. I've seen that happen a couple times. I've also seen like a lender has overestimated the cash to bring to close.
Right.
And so the buyer walks in with a certified check that may be $5 to $5,000 over what is necessary to bring.
Yeah. And then they just give it to us as a tip.
Right. It goes to my son's college fund.
Right.
So that's how it gets written out there.
No,
really what happens is the title company is like, hey, you paid a little bit more. Here's a check back for the difference.
Right. Yep, that could happen.
Little hiccups like that will happen. I don't want to say frequently, because again, if we're doing our jobs, we're kind of on top of these things, or we know that it's going to be an issue before we get to the table and we've already got a plan of attack in place.
Right.
Sometimes I've seen some documents need to have some transaction documents still need an initial here or a signature there.
Right.
Maybe somebody missed something on a lead-based paint disclosure, for example.
Yeah. Sometimes you have a little last minute thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I had one last week. Did I tell you?
No.
We went to the walkthrough. And it was great. Everything looked good. And then we went in the basement, and the seller had left all kinds of stuff in the basement.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh my poor buyer. Her face just fell. Because we did the, I like to do that too, come right before closing, just make sure everything's fine. And I said, don't panic. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple ways to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I called the realtor, and she hustled over there, and we just pulled everything up the stairs and put it on the side, and she was thrown in her pickup truck.
Perfect.
And then we made it. We made it. We were an hour late to closing. It was not a problem. But other ways I've had where we've just said to the seller, okay, well, we didn't want your rotted old upright piano that was in the basement in pieces.
And so we are going to experience it.
I just came up with that out of thin air.
I doubt that.
No, that happened. Exactly. And you know, in a case like that, we ended up having the seller just basically sign an addendum saying they would give another $500 to the buyer. And we worked it through. Anytime you're changing the money, you know, you have to work it through.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a common thing.
You make a good point too. And I do like to go to a walkthrough pretty much right before closing.
Mm-hmm.
If I know they've been out at least 24 hours earlier,
right,
I will go earlier.
Just to check.
Just for that reason. Yes. Because
that's a good idea.
The other thing that you want to communicate very clearly up front is, are things you want to ask the seller, I don't want you to leave any of your 30 old dried out paint cans.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want you to leave every chemical that you've every pesticide you've ever used, because you can't just put those in the trash.
That's right.
And so if you show up, and oftentimes you will show up, you'll come into some part of the basement like, look at all those paint cans. They must have thought I was going to repaint some part of this house.
Yeah, with their olive green from 1977.
With their olive green or their burnt orange or something. And so if you're doing that 24 hours in advance, you have enough time to say, hey, seller, I'm going to need you to come back and get all that stuff for
a seller's
agent.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, well, we've touched on a lot of things. There's always a little bit more that we can talk about, and we do when we're ready to close on your new house. We have a good checklist that we're going to walk you through those final steps as it gets a little bit hectic towards closing, and then we'll remind you of certain things after closing. Did you take your tax docs in?
Yep.
Did you remember to, you know, set up the cable, whatever. Whatever the case may be, we're going to help you get through each of those points so that you can have as smooth a closing as possible with as few hiccups as possible, so that you can just move in and start painting and enjoy your new home and meeting your neighbors. So anyhow, we look forward to working with you and celebrating with you at the closing table when you go to buy your house.
Love it.
So thanks for joining us here on the Studio Cast. This has been Sarah.
And this is Todd.
Jeffrey.
Just bringing you as much information as we can to get you through these real estate transactions and live well. Thank you.